Hello and welcome to the final episode of Season 2 of the Relationship Matters podcast. I'm your host, Katie Churchman, and in this episode, Marita Frichon is deep diving into the fifth and final principle of relationship systems intelligence. Relationship systems are in a constant state of emergence, always in the process of expressing their potential. This principle is critical to the phenomenon referred to as the speed of change. It signifies modern society's increasingly shorter planning horizons and the required flexibility to embrace and navigate change effectively. Successful organizations are nimble and flexible in the face of shifting tides. Most people are averse to change because they are afraid of the unknown or of losing the status quo. Even the word change itself often creates resistance. With relationship systems intelligence, the premise is to accept change as constant and inevitable and to co-create with and from it. Leaders need to move away from the traditional unfreeze, change, freeze paradigm and encourage teams to embrace change as a natural and continuous evolution necessary for survival. So without further ado, I give you Marita Frichon talking about the principle of emergence. Okay, so Marita, we're on our final principle. Relationship systems are in a constant state of emergence, always in the process of expressing their potential.
Hi, Katie. Good to talk to you again. And you and I are talking in the first week of a new year called 2021. And I noticed how either both of us were concerned about saying Happy New Year because our system has been in such an obvious state of emergence globally. That's like, do we know it's going to be happy or not? So it's an interesting time to talk about this.
Yeah, because I think the new year brings up a lot of stuff as well. It's exciting, but it's also an awareness that time is moving.
Yeah, and you know, and again, when you just repeated that principle again, systems are in a constant state of emergence, always in the process of expressing itself. Then for me, I think the reason why this is such a challenging year to consider in terms of happy new year or of a good new year is because right now we are not sure what the potential is that's trying to be expressed. And we are aware of all the threatening parts that are coming our way with the virus increasing, the pandemic ever growing, certainly in several countries, and just globally political challenging situations. So it's one of those places for humanity, I think, where I'm not surprised, and I think it would be quite normal to be feeling mostly in a state of reactivity against it. Because reactivity is underlying all reactivity and reacting against something is that fear of death and failure. And I always get curious what it is that we are positively rehearsing in a time like this. If we know that the emergence that we are facing at the moment is very challenging, I mean, life-threatening, then what are the resolutions that we're walking with for this year, rehearsing in a positive way and creating from? So I'm always curious about what that might be. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm curious about one of the New Year's resolutions that you are, and I know a new year, beginning of a new year, fall, and different days on the calendar in different orientations. So I don't want to collapse it to the 1st of January. So anybody that is listening, it's whatever that place is where there's the emergence of a new cycle that we call New Year. I'm curious, are you willing to share something, one of what you are looking at?
Yeah. So someone mentioned to me that they just pick a word, and I quite liked that as opposed to picking a specific thing. And when I thought on it on December 31st at 11:30 at night, I ended up picking the word space. So for me, I want to generate more space in 2021. And that, of course, can mean lots of different things.
Space is a place in which we can express and experience, allow ourselves to experience reactivity as well as creating from. I'm curious, what is the best outcome for you, or the best place to lean into that New Year's wish or that New Year resolution of space?
I think it's internal. I think quite often I look to my external, whether it's creating more space in my diary or getting in some more yoga. But actually, I think I could do all those things and still feel very busy.
Yeah.
I think it's internal for me.
That's so interesting, because I think that when we talk about emergence, we need to also understand that there is within us, there is multiple emergences. And a lot of those emergences for us are closer to emergencies. And that's why it always feels busy, even if we try to take space, because we are constantly rehearsing or playing with what feels like an emergency. So one of the things that it's so interesting, it ties in with one of the things that I sat with, is when I am aware of speed, that there is the rush to have to do something, it usually is a space of emergency. It's a space where I feel like if I don't do anything now, the worst will happen. And then I'm thinking of, now I can't remember whether it is Carolyn Mace or whoever talks about, is that true in this moment? And usually that's a question that helps me work with emergence, because there's emergence that is, I find a car racing at me at 50 miles an hour and I can't get out of the way and done. Or there is something that I'm anticipating, but there still is space to rehearse and see whether I can create from. So I think that the moment that I can own that I am now in an emergency quadrant, I can begin to get a different locus of control when I go, is that happening now? The diagnosis that somebody received is happening now, but are you dying in the next minute is not. So I think that this thing about space that is often attacked by speed.
Yeah.
And speed, underlying speed, is always fear of destruction and death, ultimately.
Yeah, it really reminds me of this quote from this lady who was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And she said, there's no time to rush. And prior to her diagnosis, she was rushing around, busy working mum. And that really sat with me. There's no time to rush.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's a thing that you and I have talked about. Emergence is. I mean, I think there's a bumper sticker that we can create that says emergence is. Just getting curious about which emergence in my life am I focusing on right now? Am I focusing on the emergence and speed that is about a paper that needs to be delivered in the next 24 hours? Is it a family emergency? What is it that, and usually when we begin to look, really pause for long enough to consider what are the emergencies, because there's never just one. I can begin to, again, locus of control is about which is the one that I have most influence, impact, control over. Which are the ones that there's nothing I can do about? Because that diminishes the number of emergencies that so floods my brain that I don't feel like I can do anything, or I have to do all of them at the same time. So that whole thing that you talked about, the awareness of and wanting to create space, and when you say it's internal, it is, the process is internal. But then sometimes we need to be able to do something externally in order to support that.
Yeah. I wonder whether we talk a bit more about that idea of locus of control, because I've become aware that certain societies are more geared towards one or the other, and how people respond to emergence can vary drastically depending on if they've got a high locus of control or a low locus of control.
You know, there's a lot of theory around locus of control pieces. And I think that there's consensus that if we look from any emergence from the perspective of what about this have I zero control about? I have zero control if I think in terms of the pandemic. I personally have zero control about stopping it. I can, what can I influence? I can influence its spread. I can influence how I take care of my own health. I have complete locus of control. So I think it's the really examining it from that place. What is it that there's nothing I can do about? I have zero control over that. What is it that I can influence by doing things differently? And what is it that I can that I absolutely have control over? My reaction, my attitude, my emotional response to something, I have locus of control over. I lose it from time to time, but there I do have my relationship to it. I can control how I do that. So I think that locus of control really is an important way to work with it, to know where I have zero, where I have influence, and where I have absolute control.
Yeah, that's a nice hybrid of high and low, because I think society is quite biased towards this idea of high locus of control. You know, you are the master of your own destiny. And then when things like a pandemic come along, I think people feel really lost because they're struggling to sort of try and control it. And actually, as you say, sometimes it's just, I can't control this, but I can influence this.
And here are the pieces that I can control. And again, you know, when I see what's happening in our world, the whole, I don't want to be political, but the observation of what is emerging around that, how for some people, not wearing a mask is what they have control over. For other people, wearing a mask is what they have control over. So there is diversity in what and how we choose to execute our control. And that very often are sources of conflict politically and otherwise. That's humanity. So it's very interesting and challenging from that perspective. But I think just the awareness that there is constant emergence and that there is more than one within the big emergence, whether it's political, economic, pandemic, whatever you want to focus on as the biggest emergence that you're aware of. Within that, there are tons of smaller emergences. That is, how do I protect my family? I control over that. So there really are places where we are powerless. But if we only focus on that, then it becomes a much more dire situation.
Yeah. So going back to that bumper sticker, emergence is, how do we embrace that as opposed to falling into the trap of emergency?
I think sometimes it is about choosing where I focus. I'm going to use because I realize this could be a really heavy conversation. I'm going to use a tech innovation, an app that's out there. There's an app at the moment that's called Wake Out. It is a combination of wake up with workout. So it's Wake Out. And Wake Out is an app that if you have it on your computer or tablet or phone or wherever, the cadence that you can set, it will show up on your screen and say, time for a little activity. At that moment in time, I have locus of control, whether I want to get up and, you know, move around or do something. If I'm in the middle of a call, like the call with you, I don't have the control over that. But there are interruptive pieces like that that actually helps us to disrupt the emergency. In my experience, I've played with it for a while now, and in my experience, just about every time that I do get up from a challenging brief or post that I'm trying to write or a difficult email I'm trying to write, every time that I get up to actually defocus from that and use the interruption of this disturbing thing that's wake out, if I can do that for a couple of minutes, I can come back and I'm usually more effective at what I then come back to. So I think that there is some of those things that is a book that's on atomic habits. Some of those little habits can help us to defocus, disconnect, regenerate, and then come back to play with it again or to go back with a different resilience to the difficult place that I was before. So I think, what are those things? And it doesn't have to be tech. My dog, that sometimes either one of them disturb me because they need to go outside and it's winter, I can't leave the door open. That's a wake out. I said, get up and do it. And usually once you've done that, you may be grumbling by the time that you come back, but it's different.
Mm.
So what are the useful disruptions that actually kickstart me out of a difficult situation to defocus and focus somewhere else and then come back with renewed energy to generate?
I like that. It's like a micro view of these patterns. Because I always think of change as a big thing, but these are minute ways of sort of creating a different kind of emergence or a different state through an emergence.
It actually is, change is a big thing that is composed of small prototypes of ways to deal with it that then becomes the collective bigger change piece. But I do think that there's, particularly when we are under threat, like we are at the moment, we tend to not look at the smaller things because we don't hold them important enough. And very often it's the smaller things that can, quote unquote, rescue us and refill with a different energy to return back to the emergence and then find it no longer such an emergency. So it's the smaller pieces as well. And you and I know how Guido's snoring in the background, which is kind of happening right now again, but softer, is one of those disturbances that actually can become an ally. So it really is that disturbance as ally that very often can help us to overcome that moment in which the emergence has become an emergency.
Mm.
And then we can look at it, look back and go, yep, I was reactive. I can go back to it in a different way now. So a lot of it is also about conscious awareness in terms of where my attention goes. And easier said than done, also, where is it that I choose to put my attention and action? And what is it that I want to move on the back burner because it's too big for me to work with right now?
Yeah, I like that you're also using the body in that example as a mechanism to move.
I think it's critical.
Yeah, I mean, because I think it's so underutilized. We often go and try and think our way through it, but actually the body's such a powerful resource.
It really, really is. And, you know, I'm just observing you just now. You are not sitting still. Your body is swinging and moving as we talk. You are so bodies, they're so interesting. I was just paging through some of those wake out activities the other day. And there are some of them that simply is about moving your fingers. But it is a distraction that takes your attention to another place that's really, really important, is the caretaking of your own body.
Mm.
And there is something about that disturbance as ally that's really, really powerful. And I think we need to find the disturbance as ally that we can leverage so that we can defocus our attention to a place where we are less fatigued, gain energy, and then come back to the pieces that we're working with and trying to solve in the moment.
Not many people know that there are more pathways running from the body to the brain than the brain to the body. So
exactly,
we can always use this to change our state. Like Einstein, I think when he got stuck on a problem, he'd go cycling and use the world and his body to change his state and his understanding.
Yeah, the ability to defocus in order to focus is critical. It's like if you just use vision, if you keep staring at something without blinking your eyes and focusing and staring without, you are beginning to disturb your ability of sight. But if you look and look away or look and blink, or you can't, so it's those kinds of things. We cannot remain focused on that which we feel we can succeed at.
Mm.
So how do I step away from it, go less strategic, less transactional with it? Because that's what we default to. As we go strategic, we go transactional. And we become brain fatigued by that. So what is it that I then need to do that I can regenerate, recover, in order to come back with a different energy? And I think that if I look at it from a positive perspective, that challenges that we face in emergence, the constant process of emergence at the moment, globally, whether we're looking at climate change, whether we're looking at politics, economy, the pandemic has done more for us to be able to practice these kinds of habits than anything else before. So if we can leverage this opportunity and gain the ability to, when these things are so constantly emerging in our lives, to learn how to focus and choose to not hold everything in view because I can't. Mm. But what is it that I can focus on that I have locus of control over, that I can influence? Because if I can create minor and mini successes in that, I will go back to the bigger challenges with a different energy.
So interesting. Almost like we've taken that word space through our entire conversation.
Yeah. And space looks different in different situations. Mm. Space simply is taking a break from that which is totally occupying your mind in a more destructive kind of way.
Yeah. I wouldn't have necessarily linked that to this idea of emergence. And one of the ways I've started to create space is through a breath technique called Kalabhati, or breath of fire.
Yes.
And it's really small and minute, but it completely changes my whole state, like in a minute. And I think actually that's probably going to change my relationship with emergence, which I didn't think about before.
I think so. And again, if we look at, and some people may really disagree with me here, but when we look at some of the things that's now become more common for us in humanity, it's those small atomic habits. It is focusing on the breath. But when I look at some of the things that they are suggesting that can help people to prepare for or to get more resilient, for COVID, it's a certain way of breathing, lying on your stomach. It's the wake up apps. When we look at how we have adapted to create smaller habits that actually has massive impact, we have in the last year of the pandemic moved ahead radically in those kinds of applications and habits that we are forced to do. It is part of what creates the fatigue in us as well, because we can no longer rely on the habit of a day as we used to know it. We have to come up with minor so-called adjustments on a daily basis. Those take choice-making, and decision-making, choice-making is more fatiguing for us now because we're not used to do it. So let's use these smaller atomic habits. Breath, wake out, take the dog as a positive thing for an invitation for me to step out the door and get some outside air, whether it's rain or snow. Those are the things that I think we can rename, reconfigure within our locus of control and sphere of influence.
Yeah.
And so I think that overall we've learned better and are doing better at how to cope with emergence, because we've learned to find the ways to turn the emergencies into emergence and creating from whole.
Yeah, and it's almost like when so many things are out of your control, you almost have to get a bit better at controlling your response to it. I think that's been at least my experience of this year.
That's the only thing I have locus of control over, really, is my response.
Yeah.
Forgive me, forgive myself, forgive yourself the moments where you go, hell no, I don't have any control over that. Of course you don't have control over that in that moment. Let it be. And then, but begin to find the moments in which the breath will help. A wake out will help. Taking the dog out will help. Moving a little bit, defocusing from that will help. So these are the small victories that we have learned or had to adapt and incorporate in order to live with our newly emerged world. So a lot of drama, a lot of pain, a lot of catastrophe. But I think there are the places where we as humanity have made some progress as well, where we created from emergence in a way that will hopefully continue to influence our lives after the pandemic is gone.
Thank you, Marita. I wasn't expecting this to become so practical and I guess applicable to our everyday lives. I appreciate that new take on.
I appreciate the ability to and the privilege of sitting with you in systems that are being in the constant state of emergence and co-creating how we create from it and honoring how we react to it and go, oh yeah, that was me reacting. And here was me having a little bit more success because I created from it. So I think these calls are really good examples of creating from, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's true. We never know what's going to emerge when we show up.
No. That's why there's sometimes a stumble, because it's not rehearsed.
Very much in the spirit of Principle 5. Thank you, Marita.
You got it. Thank you, Katie. Love talking with you.
Thanks again to Marita for that deep dive into our fifth and final principle of relationship systems intelligence. Relationship systems are in a constant state of emergence, always in the process of expressing their potential. My key takeaways are as follows. Emergence or change can be minute or comprehensive. Sometimes the changes come from outside, other times from within. When we talk about emergence, we need to understand that within each of us, there are many smaller emergences, and these may likely feel like emergencies. Sometimes it isn't immediately clear what potential is being expressed through change or emergence. This is when we may choose to look to the bigger systemic picture for answers. Emergence is, so which emergence are you going to pay attention to? Which emergence do you have the most influence or control over? Finally, locus of control can help us to be more conscious with our attention towards emergence. Where do you have zero control? Where do you have influence? And where have you absolute control? As I mentioned at the beginning, this was the final episode of season two of the Relationship Matters podcast, but don't worry, we will be back for a third season later this year. And we would love to hear your thoughts and suggestions for future episodes. So look out for a LinkedIn post on the CRR Global feed where you can share your comments about the podcast and requests for the upcoming season. In the meantime, you can re-listen to any of the past two seasons by subscribing to the Relationship Matters podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And do check out crrglobal.com for more resources, articles, and also information about ORSC courses. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters. Thank you, take care, and we'll be back soon with season 3.